Okay, welcome back to our Experience Shabbat Shir. We're doing pretty well. This is, I think, Shir number 13 or 14, maybe more than that. So, God willing, we should continue to grow and multiply in numbers of, not just the number of Shiurim, but also number of people who, God willing, will join this year. But so this week we're speaking about the Shabbos meal. As promised, last week we spoke about Lechem Mishnah, the notion that we have two loaves of bread at every single Shabbos meal. And this week we said we were going to speak about the general concept of the Shabbos meal and what its place is in the entire 25-hour period of Shabbos. And then, God willing, over the next couple of weeks following this, we're going to try to go meal by meal, and it's still TBD if I'm going to use one shear for each meal, or if I'm going to just get a few of them together. But the basic idea is that we're going to do the generalizations of what the Shabbos meal is all about, and then for the next few weeks, the specifics of each Shabbos meal, and go through one by one and understand the deeper meaning in each of all of the meals. Okay, so but this week we're going to be speaking about the generalizations. So, the obligation of eating a Shabbos meal never really seems to be written in the Torah at all. You'd be hard out to find a verse that says one is obligated to have a Shabbos meal. The only thing that the Torah seems to say is, as we spoke about last week, that we received a portion of man on Friday for Shabbos, so it seems like we had the obligation or that there was an idea of eating on Shabbos. Now, one can say, without going any further, that obviously there is an obligation, or maybe obligation is the wrong word, but obviously there is an idea to be eating on Shabbos. Why is there an idea to be eating on Shabbos? Well, because there's also an idea to eat Sunday through Friday. If there's an idea to be eating Sunday through Friday, so that means one should be eating on Shabbos as well. And one might make the argument to say that just like we have the obligation or the recommendation, if you will, to eat every single day of the week, so too we have the recommendation to be eating on Shabbos. And you might even take that hypothesis and say, it's true, it's not really a mitzvah, it's just something that we do, but because it's Shabbos, then we like to say that everything we do on Shabbos is a mitzvah, because every minute of Shabbos is in essence, in some way, shape, or form, a mitzvah. So that might be the basic approach you would take. However, it seems to be that there is a little bit more than just that, and that is to say that at the base level, if you want to understand what the base obligation is to have a meal on Shabbos, you just have to point to the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. We know that we have an obligation to enjoy Shabbos. How does one go about enjoying Shabbos? Well, very simple. All you have to do is cook up a nice roast beef and a nice corned beef, and then you'll really be enjoying Shabbos. Well, I guess if you're a vegetarian, you won't be enjoying Shabbos. But okay, if you're not a vegetarian, you'll be enjoying Shabbos. And if you're a vegetarian, you cook up some delicious other dish. And that is how you will go about fulfilling the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. That's one way to enjoy Shabbos. However, there is even an additional level of a commandment to eat on Shabbos, and that is the specific commandment to eat three meals on Shabbos. Now, people, this is a bit of a misnomer. People think that really there's an obligation to eat one Shabbos, one meal on Friday night and one meal in the afternoon. And then there's this thing called Shalosh Sudas, right? Sudash Lishit, third meal that some people do and some people don't do. So that is a bit of a misnomer. Everyone should be doing Shalosh Sudas, and we'll be speaking about that, God willing, either next week or in the next couple of weeks, how important it is, because there is a real obligation for every single person. Man and even women should be eating Shalosh Sudas, should be eating three full meals on Shabbos. So where does this come from? Well, the base obligation for three meals comes from the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yud Zayin and Mabiz says the following: Tana Rabbanan, Kama Sudos Chayav Adam Lechol B'Shabbos. How many meals is one obligated to eat on Shabbos? Shalosh. The Gemara says three meals is the base obligation, the number of meals that someone should be eating on Shabbos. Rabbi Chidka Omer Arba. So this individual named Rabbi Chidka said that one has an obligation to eat four meals on Shabbos. And the Gemara then says that they actually learn this out from the same pasuk. What's the pasuk? Well, Moshe said to the Jewish people, Vayomer Moshe, Ichluhu Ha. Hayom, you should eat today. Ki Shabbos Hayom La Hashem Hayom Lo Timtza Uhu Basadeh. So you should be eating today on Shabbos, because you can't keep the food until tomorrow. You have to be eating today. Now, this pasuk also comes from the passage of speaking about the man. So if you remember last week, again, we had the pasuk from the man, as it taught us how to apply the mitzvah of lechem mishnah, of having two loaves of bread at each meal. But and now we also use a pasuk from the passage about man to teach us that there is an obligation to have three meals on Shabbos. Now, how can someone why does someone learn that one does three meals on Shabbos from this pasuk? Well, very simple, because the pasuk, the Gemara says, the Gemara says the word hayom three times. And since it says the word hayom three times, that means, according to the base opinion, according to the rabbis, that we have an obligation to have as many meals as the occurrence of the word hayom in the pasuk. So hayom comes up three times, so we have an obligation to eat three meals. However, Rabbi Chizka, who says that we have an obligation to eat four meals on Shabbos, so how does he say four meals from this pasuk? Well, very simple. He says that when the pasuk was taking place, when Moshe was speaking, saying that we have an obligation to eat three meals, he was actually speaking in the morning, meaning we had already eaten the Friday night meal, and now he's saying on Shabbos morning, we have the obligation to eat three more meals. That's the morning meal, mid-afternoon meal, and then the evening meal, all on Shabbos. Now, some people might say that perhaps this is where the obligation of Malava Malka comes from. We'll also spend some time speaking about Malava Malka, that it's an extension, at the very least, of one of the meals of Shabbos, that it's the meal that takes place right after Shabbos. But nonetheless, that's what the Gemara says. It's a machloka. Some people say we have three meals, some people say we have four meals. We paskin at the end of the day that one should be eating three meals on the seventh day of the week on Shabbos. Now, is it a Torah commandment to have three meals, or is it a rabbinic commandment? So based on the Gemara that I just read for you that says we learn it out of a pasuk, you would say obviously it's a Torah commandment. However, there is a machlokes, an argument about this. The Yeraim, who was one of the Rishonim, he held that it is a Torah commandment to have three meals on Shabbos. That is to say, every single time you sit down to have a meal, you are fulfilling the word of God, and so it makes that corned beef taste a little bit better. According to the Smag, another one of the Rishonim, he says that it is actually a rabbinic commandment, still important to do, still makes the corned beef taste good, but perhaps not as good as if it were a Torah commandment. Now, going back to the going back to the nature of this mitzvah, how are we to understand how intertwined the obligation of three meals is with the notion of Oneg Shabbos? That is to say, we said that there is this base obligation of having an Oneg Shabbos, of enjoying Shabbos, and we said that obviously eating a meal is a fulfillment of enjoying Shabbos, but how are we to understand the extended obligation of three meals? So the way you would frame it is as follows. So if eating meals is all about fulfilling Oneg Shabbos, so if it was all about enjoyment, then let's say I'm not going to enjoy all of my meals. Let's say for the example is given specifically with Shalashudas, but in theory it can apply to all meals. Let's say by the time Shalashudas comes, especially in the early Shabbos, it's 4:15, and I'm about to sit down for Shalashudas on the winter Shabbos, and I'm like so stuffed because I just had lunch an hour ago. So am I obligated to have my Shalashudas meal? It's my third meal after all. So the way you would answer it is as follows. If the three meal obligation is all about enjoying Shabbos, and this will not be enjoyable, then I would be exempt, seemingly, because I'm not going to enjoy this meal. However, if the obligation was that there is a notion of enjoying Shabbos, and part of that is eating a meal, but there is also a separate obligation to have three meals, nothing to do with enjoyment per se, then the answer is that I still would be obligated to have Shalashudas, even if I was totally stuffed. So in that vein, the Rambam makes the following statements. Chayev Adam le'achol shalosh sudos b'Shabbos echas. One is obligated to eat three meals on Shabbos, and he gives, and it says in the evening and in the morning or whatever, 12 o'clock, whatever time you like to have your meal, and then in the after mincha time, which is right close to the end of Shabbos. But he says one should be very careful to keep all of these three meals. Don't only have two, don't only have one, and make sure you have three. V'afilu ani hamisparnis min hatzedaka soi shalosudos. And even the poor man who is not able to afford anything, who has to support himself by taking tzedakah money, he too should have three meals a day, three meals on Shabbos. V'im haya chole mirov ha'achila, but let's say someone was really sick from eating too much food, or he would like afflict himself frequently. So part of that affliction was that he would make sure that he didn't eat too much. Patur mishalosh seudos. So these are very important words of the Rambam. One is therefore exempt from the three meals of Shabbos. So in other words, if you're not someone who engages in three meals because you like to afflict yourself, which, okay, that's not a discussion right now, but you are someone who doesn't eat as often as maybe the average person, or you are so stuffed, then one would be exempt from having all three meals. A good example of this might be, let's say someone who has like a bad stomach virus. So someone who has a bad stomach virus, so in theory, they're still, they're obligated in Kiddush, and they're obligated in Havdalah, and they're obligated in all the aspects of Shabbos, but what about the three meals? So if they're going to have a terrible meal, let's just say the important line. If it's any sort of a light, you know, endangering of their life, because sometimes a stomach virus could lead to dehydration, so that would be a different story. But let's say someone's, you know, stomach isn't feeling so great. Would they be obligated in any of the three meals? So based on this Rambam, one would not be obligated in any of the meals if they're not feeling so great. And this is, in fact, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, writes as follows. Yesh omrim she'adam she'mazik lo ha'achila, da'az oneg hu lo she'lo le'achol. Let's say someone who eating the food is going to be like damaging for him, and therefore his oneg Shabbos in this case is not to eat. So in this situation, says the Shulchan Aruch, lo yochal, one should not be eating any of the meals, or one should not be eating any of the meals that will really come to hurt him. And so what we see from here is the base understanding that it must be at the end of the day that even though there is a separate obligation to have three meals, at its base and at its root, it's all about the obligation of enjoying Shabbos. And if my meals will not be enjoyable, then I am going to be exempt from fulfilling this commandment. And the Mishnah Brura says this the most clearly. The Chafetz Chaim writes, that the meals were given as an obligation on Shabbos to enjoy and not to be in pain over. Okay, fine. So with all of that, so now we understand that the mitzvah of eating a meal on Shabbos is about enjoyment and not necessarily as much about its separate obligation to eat per se, right? That we're obligated to eat, to light Shabbos candles. So even though that is an aspect of Oneg Shabbos, that seems to be an across-the-board mitzvah that we have to do no matter what. Even if we really don't like lighting Shabbos candles, we still should really be doing that. But when it comes to eating a meal, if it's really going to cause us pain, then it would seem like, at least until this point, that one is exempt from doing it. Okay, but what about the most important question, perhaps, of understanding the mitzvah of eating a Shabbos seuda? If it is a mitzvah, whether it's oneg or whether it's its own mitzvah, how come I don't make a bracha on it? That means to say that whenever we light the candles for Shabbos, we make a bracha on it. When we make kiddush, we make a bracha on kiddush. When we havdalah, we make a bracha on havdalah. How come we don't make a bracha shir kiddushan of the mitzvah Shabbos ibano lechol seuda? So you say lechol seuda rishona, lechol seuda shniyah, lechol seuda shlishi, that Hashem commanded me to eat the first meal, the second meal, the third meal. So there are three answers to this question as to why we do not make any sort of a bracha on the mitzvah of Shabbos meals. So the first answer can be found in the Sefer Torah Shabbos. The Torah Shabbos was written by an individual named Rabbi Yaakov Weil. He lived in the 18th century, and he says as follows. There's no specific shear. He gives two answers. He says there's no specific shear, there's no specific measurement as to how much one should really be eating, right? Meaning one could eat an entire corned beef, or one can have one piece of corned beef, and either one could be fulfilling their obligation of the mitzvah, since there's no specific set amount that one has to do it. So he says that's one reason why we don't make a bracha on this mitzvah. Another answer that he says is that the opening mitzvah of oneg shah, or the opening mitzvah that represents all enjoyment of Shabbos, is that of lighting Shabbos candles. Right? If you remember previously, we've spoken about lighting Shabbos candles is actually kavod and oneg Shabbos. But since it's the first way that we fulfill oneg Shabbos, so he says that when we make the bracha asher kedushan of mitzvah Shabbos ivano lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, when we make that mitzvah, that actually exempts us from the making a bracha on all aspects of oneg Shabbos. Which, by the way, let's say a person really enjoys taking a nap on Shabbos, so they take their nice Shabbos menucha. So you could ask the same question: if I'm fulfilling my oneg Shabbos, why don't I have the obligation to make a bracha shir kedushan mitzvah Shabbos ivano? That God gave me the ability to take a nice Shabbos afternoon nap. Why don't I make that bracha? Well, because of this same reason. Because you can say that when I make the bracha, I'm lighting the Shabbos candles, then I exempt all other oneg mitzvos from hearing a bracha. The Aruch HaShulchan actually suggests something a little bit different. He says that we only make a bracha on a mitzvah when it's a recognizable mitzvah that's different from what the Torah normally commands us. So what does that mean? That means that I make a bracha when I take my lulav and esrog on sukkahs. I make a bracha for sitting in the sukkah. I make a bracha for wearing tefillin. I make a bracha for lots of things. What do I not make a bracha on? I don't make a bracha on something that I would normally do even if the Torah even if the Torah, God forbid, didn't exist, then it would never have told me this. Meaning, I would have my meals on Shabbos no matter what. Why? Because I eat every single day, that I need to eat to live, and therefore, since that's the case that I need to eat to live, there's no point in me making a bracha on something that I would have done anyways. Oh, it happens to be that now that I do it anyways, it's really nice because I am fulfilling a mitzvah, but we don't make a bracha on something that we would have done anyways, even if the Torah would not have told us about it. The final answer that I wanted to share comes from the Sefer Shi'uri Mevaser Tov, from the Biala Rebbe, and he says that we actually do make a bracha on the Shabbos meals. You want to know where that bracha could be found? Well, it comes from one of the Shabbos Zmiros. So it's a big problem, according to him, if you don't sing all the Shabbos Zmiros, or at least if you specifically don't sing this Shabbos Zemer. He says the Shabbos Zemer that goes Kol Mekadesh Shvi'i, that it is a really nice song. If you don't know the tune, then maybe we should have another class in teaching all the tunes of the Shabbos Zmiros. But Kol Mekadesh Shvi'i, which is a beautiful song, he says that there's a line in that song that goes Baruch Hashem Asher Nasan Menucha Li'amo Yisrael. Blessed are you, Hashem, for giving us a menucha, for giving us a rest for the Jewish nation. And he says that this line is actually a bracha on Suda Shabbos. Now, this actually sounds like this line is actually the bracha on a Shabbos afternoon nap, actually, because it's a bracha thanking Hashem for the rest. But it seems like, no, that the line over here of thanking Hashem for the rest means thanking Him for the ability to have a nice, enjoyable meal. So that's what he says. Why don't we make a bracha on a Shabbos meal? We do make a bracha on a Shabbos meal. The bracha is not the bracha to Hashem, asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav b'tzivanu, but it's a one-liner that comes in one of the Shabbos zmiros. Now, we'll conclude with two final ideas, and that is, we're really doing really well. It's only 15 minutes. What will become of someone who actually does partake in all three meals every single Shabbos? So the Gemara in Shabbos has a very lofty depiction of what's going to happen to this person. The Gemara says in the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yud Ches Amar Aleph, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Kol HaMekayim Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos, anyone who eats three meals on Shabbos, Nitzol Mishalosh Peranios, he'll be saved, or he or she will be saved from three forms of suffering. What are the three forms of suffering? Mechevlo Shal Mashiach, he'll be saved from the experience of the birth pangs of Mashiach, meaning he'll get to witness Mashiach coming, but he won't experience the pain that is inevitably going to come with that. Medina shel Gehenim, he'll be saved from the judgments of Gehenim, from the judgments of going down there to the fiery place. Milchemes Gog u'Magog, and he's going to be saved from the war of Gog u'Magog. So this individual who partakes in eating all the three Shabbos meals, he's going to get three rewards. He's going to not have to experience three forms of pain that other people will be experiencing. And that is the birth pangs of Mashiach, the judgments of Gehenim, and experiencing the war of Gog u'Magog. Now, the concluding question we have to ask is, where in the world is this Gemara coming from? We had a pretty black and white shear that gave a pretty basic perspective of what the mitzvah is. Where does it come from? Is it oneg? Is it a separate commandment of three mitzvahs? Is it a Torah commandment? Is it a rabbinic commandment? Where are we coming from now that all of a sudden we're jumping to, if someone just eats three meals, like they probably would have done anyways, right? The average person does eat three meals a day. Happens to be, by the way, parenthetically, in the times of the Gemara, they only ate two meals a day, so it is a bit of a stretch that's to say that someone should eat three meals a day. Where is this Gemara coming from that says when I eat the three meals, I'm going to receive such a lofty reward? So I think the answer could be found in the following very deep idea. I think we have to explain that one who is eating Shabbos meals, not because they just want to be eating, but they're actually eating because God commanded them to eat, which is a very deep notion to say that I'm enjoying my kishka, I'm enjoying my cholent, not because I really like it. I do like it, but I'm eating it because God commanded me to. That is an individual who is treating Shabbos itself like he's living in the times of redemption. How so? What do I mean by that? Because in the times of redemption, in the times of Geula, everything is going to be so abundantly clear that we're doing it to serve Hashem. Meaning anyone who sits down to eat on Shabbos, even though they're eating because they're hungry, if they're doing it specifically to serve Hashem, if they're doing it specifically to serve the mitzvah, then that is the embodiment of what the Geula is all about, where every moment of my life is like a revealed understanding that everything I do is to serve God. This individual, therefore, anyone who enjoys a Shabbos meal because God commanded them to, is someone who is specifically emulating what the Geula, what the redemption is going to look like, and therefore we reward a person who is enjoying the Shabbos meal, who is sitting down for the Shabbos meal because God told him accustomed to, we reward this person by having an easier time experiencing the redemption. So what I'm saying, essentially, just to sum it up in one line, is last week we mentioned that Lecha Mishnah is all about adding a kedusha, adding a holiness to that which is mundane. If you truly embody the Shabbos meal and everything that it represents, we're not specifically saying that we're going to take that which is mundane, meaning eating basic food, and we're making it holy. It's almost a deeper level, that we're saying that when I sit down to eat my Shabbos meal, it, since I'm recognizing from the beginning that I'm doing it because God commanded me to, I'm not even sanctifying that which is profane. I'm saying that there was never even a level of profanity to it to begin with. There was no hole that ever entered into the Shabbos meal. True, I understand that it is physical, it is a piece of corned beef, but no, since I came into the meal understanding that this is a commandment fulfilled by God, commanded by God, that I'm doing this just to keep God's word, because of that recognition itself, and I'm just saying it's only about serving God, I'm almost in a higher level than sanctifying that which is chol, because I'm saying that there was never even chol here to begin with. I don't see chol, I don't see profane, I only see kedusha, even in that which appears to be the most chol. So God willing, this Shabbos, when we sit down for our three meals, right, Friday night, Shabbos day, and then for Shalshutas, we should come with this intention of saying that even though we're going to enjoy, God willing, our food, that we're doing it specifically to serve God, and by doing so, may we merit to experience not just the geula, God willing, that should come soon, but an easy trip and an easy experience of the geula, of the building, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, and the coming of the Mashiach, v'mehira v'meinu, amin. Everyone should have a great night and a good Shabbos.